curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I am Carla Soans, and I am here once again in the Southwest Michigan First studio with Ron Kitchens.
And she was stretching it out because I have a mouthful of chocolate.
He just took a bite of very delicious chocolate, which I am also partaking in. So thank you for bringing that, Ron. A little chocolate to the podcast studio never hurt anybody. I am super excited about today's conversation. We're going to be talking a little bit about growing by observing. And I'll start by saying that we all know that when you're growing, it doesn't always feel very good, but it's really critical for leaders to continue to invest and continue to grow, which means being stretched, putting yourself in situations that cause you to stretch and think differently. And when you're observing other people, I think that you're doing that, and you often have to self-reflect and think, through that observation, I realize that I have a few cracks.
Yeah, not just a few cracks, but, you know, I think one of the things that we have to understand is that as you observe people, are the behaviors that you're observing, that you're bringing in, ones that you would like to see reflected from yourself in a mirror? And I think that's the test for me. It's, you know, one of the reasons I don't watch cable news now at all. None of the channels. I get all my news from print because I want to be able to process the story, not get screamed at with these crazy ideas. Because I find that the tenor of the people that I am learning from becomes the tenor of my behavior. And we all know that with our kids. We can see them. We've all heard, you know, you are what you eat, you know, or your success is going to be a direct reflection of the books you read, the television you watch, the radio you listen to, or, you know, your reflection of your five closest friends. Whatever that is, we know that, but we forget that we get those things by observing, translating, and then transmitting, and understanding what we're transmitting. Sometimes is the really hard part, because what looks authentic and great on somebody else makes us look condescending or pompous or a jerk. And we have to understand emotionally how we're presenting that.
So let's talk about that a little bit more, because you touched on, you know, really first starting with yourself. I mean, you have observed through your own self, like when I take news this way, I tend to be more reactive, or I get caught up. And I need time to process it so I don't make a knee-jerk reaction or, you know, kind of just believe everything that people are saying to me. And so really starting with that self-observation and then looking at people that you admire with a critical enough eye that you can say, this is a really great leadership quality and I really admire that, but it may not fit me. And that's okay.
That's right.
I think one of the really powerful exercises that we've done and the leadership programs is a leadership door exercise. And you start by saying, like, I know if people walk through my door, this is kind of what they can expect. And you write down the qualities. So for Ron, like, you'd write down, like, well, I'm a very visionary leader. I like big ideas. I like to think about, like, big concepts and put them together. And you're kind of an architect and a builder. And there's a lot of brainstorming and energy, and you like to be in the mix with that type of energy. And that's so awesome. And it's so great for people to know that, so that when they come to you looking for a potential solution to a problem, they know to not come with it all completely mapped out, because you kind of like to be part of the solution.
To add value.
To add value and to see how that kind of comes together. And so you might admire other leaders who have extremely detailed processes and plans, but it also may not be your leadership style, and that's okay. You can admire things that you look at yourself and you're like, I would have to keep up that system, and I don't, that's not me.
No, not at all. I don't, yeah, I'm a much better originator, starter, creator than I am long-term operator. long term, I get bored doing it. So I'm constantly trying to change it so I don't get bored, which is good because I never fall in love with the status quo. But at some point, you're just changing things to change them. So I have to understand who I am and where I am in a particular area and know that at some point I have to hand it off and go, hey, if you need to tweak, come see me. If not, it's yours. Make the decisions. Here's where we're going. It's moving forward nicely. But you're right. If somebody comes to me and says, here's what we're going to do, X, Y, and Z, the little kid in me goes, you know, you're not my boss. You can't tell me what to do. You know, we're going to figure out a better way to do it. And most of the time, two people together, three people together are going to figure out a better way. But if you're in love with what you put on the paper, then we're not going to get along very well that day.
And I think that's what's so important, because you hear so many times people talk about that learning through observing. And it's really easy to fall in love with other people's personality and their characteristics and sometimes their charisma, but it may not be who you are. So you have to be selective, and you can admire a lot of things about other people, but you have to stay authentic to who you are. And that doesn't mean not working on yourself and trying to emulate some behaviors, but you really have to make sure that you're emulating behaviors that are still authentic to you and your leadership style. And just know that not every single person, you can be an amazing leader, and there still may be some people who don't adapt well to that type of style, and that's okay. That doesn't mean you're not a good leader. It means that you're not the best leader for that person.
We had lunch together today with several other people, and it was funny. We all ordered salads, and of the seven or six salads, one person had a cheeseburger. It was not me. I ate a salad. I just want that known, which was not my tendency, but I did today. But of the six salads ordered, we had five different dressings. It's the same salad. It's lettuce and some other stuff, but we all wanted a different dressing on it. We all wanted it slightly a different way. That's okay. One isn't better than the other, although I'm never eating poppy seed. I'm just telling you, there's some stuff's nasty. But the now, yeah, I guess we've lost the poppy
seed. I thought you were going to say get stuck in your teeth.
No, I don't care
nasty,
so much
not
about that.
Stuck in his teeth.
But, you know, we all need things in a different way, but understanding your own emotional intelligence, who you are, and being able to react and to be able to communicate that. You know, somebody who's given us great vocabulary for that is Brené Brown. And, you know, with her idea of rumblings and being able to say, here's how I'm feeling in this. And I know it is crazy talk in my own head, but let me tell you, when you walk in and you put that down and it's a complete drawn out plan, I feel like you're yelling at me and I feel like I'm being victimized by what you're doing. And that's how I feel. And you know, when I'm the point leader, my reaction, it's how I grew up, I don't know, is, oh my gosh, I revert back to that. And so my reaction is going to be less than positive. And so I have to know to communicate that and say, let's talk this through. And so, and then hopefully I've communicated it well enough that people don't feel diminished by me doing that.
Yeah. And I think it's really important as a point leader to know that about yourself and be able to coach other people to be successful in your type of leadership style. Like, know that some people don't know that you enjoy doing that. They think that it's their job to come up with a solution. So we have to help coach other people to adapt to that leadership style. And if you're not a point leader on the podcast, don't be afraid to ask, like, how do you like to engage when we're coming up with decisions? Do you like a written plan? Do you like a brainstorm session? You know, I think it's important to ask questions so that you and to observe well and ask other people who have been successful working with that leader, you know, observe them. Like, how are they, you know, responding to things in meetings? How are they presenting ideas to that person? Because often they've figured out an art of doing that because they've gotten to know that person and they've built a relationship to know that this is how they operate best. And everybody wants to work in an environment where they're operating at their best with their boss.
Absolutely.
That's just the fact of the world. I mean, most people want to have a successful relationship with their point leader.
And one that gives them energy, not that makes them feel like a victim or makes them feel like they're unappreciated or diminished.
Yeah, or running around in circles trying to figure out what the magic,
sauce is. Which doesn't mean we all get our own way. It just means that the ideas are valued and we're getting from good to great with the process.
Absolutely. So in your book, you had a couple different stories that kind of tie into this. I know one of them had to do with pork chops. And I know it's not what you ate for lunch today. You chose salad, and I'm really proud of you. But talk to us a little bit about your pork chop story.
Salad, but we're eating chocolate now. So you got to savor your can.
Listen, it's a 3 o'clock snack.
So, the pork chop story is, it goes back to, I think I was a junior in high school. And my then high school girlfriend had invited me to her family's house for dinner, and we had pork chops. Well, I grew up in a house that if meat had a bone, you used your hand. That was the rule. I just didn't know any better or different. And it didn't, and I wasn't observant at all. And so after the dinner, her father pulled me aside and said, essentially, hey, we don't do it that way. And, you need to use a knife and a fork and here. And he was very kind about it, but I was mortified. And so my best friend, Cameron, who's been my best friend my whole life that I can remember, his mom, I told his mom about it, and she's a great mentor to me. And she said, you need to observe, wait a little bit. If you're in an environment where you feel comfortable, but it's different, stop and see if the traditions are different. Stop and see if the people there do things in a different way. And that has served me amazingly well, not just because I've learned that you don't actually eat pork chops with your hands. And if I ever go to the White House for dinner, I won't make that mistake. Hopefully they'll serve pork chops. But then, I also learned that most everything in this world, you can know by observation or learning, whether that's learning through observation, whether that's observing a book or a television show or the people's behaviors or, I discovered probably a year or two before the pork chop incident, as it's become known, the New York Times wedding section. And I was in the Future Farmers of America growing up.
I was too. Yeah. We have that in common.
So I still have my blue corduroy jacket somewhere.
I don't think I kept my hat.
So I was on the dairy judging team, which meant that you had to go taste soured milk and all kinds of cheeses.
I also was not on that team.
But we went to Missouri State for a competition, and it was the first time I ever remember being on a college campus. And while my friends and peers were all in the student union, ordering from the snack bar and playing video games, I found the library. And I've always loved libraries. And so I found it, found the newspaper and magazine section, and there laid a New York Times wedding section. And I never seen or heard of the New York Times, but I fell in complete awe of the section because it told the story. And if you've ever read it, it doesn't just say, Barb married Bill, here's who officiated, they went to Cancun for their honeymoon. It tells how they met. It tells where they went to college. It tells where their parents went to college, what their parents did for a living, where they grew up, what their hopes and dreams are. And it began to show me a picture of the world that if this was the newspaper of New York, the most successful city that I had ever heard of, maybe the most successful city in the world, that and these were the people that they featured, there must be something special about their stories. And so I became a lifelong reader of the New York Times wedding section. I convinced my local library in my little hometown to subscribe to the Sunday New York Times so I could go and read the wedding section. And, and I'd always done that. So when it came time for Kelsey to go to college, one of the reasons she picked the school she went to is because the careers that the people had who she wanted, who were in that section, all went to one of three colleges. So those were the colleges that she focused around that had exemplary advertising departments. And so it really is a learning opportunity It's right there in front of you. So don't ever let ignorance be your enemy.
So growing by observing, I think, you know, you touched on it, but being a constant learner is really the only way to keep growing. And that can be done through observing, can be done through reading. I know you talk a lot about reading. There's so many different ways to learn, but really taking in information and pushing yourself to keep, you know, challenging the status quo, not allowing yourself to get stagnant. Don't get so comfortable with yourself that you fall into bad behaviors or you don't allow yourself to continue to grow, because we're always evolving. The world is evolving so quickly. Is there any other points that you want to make about growing by observation today, Ron?
I guess you just gave advice to a young person. As you know, I serve on the board of trustees at Western Michigan University. And we had a recent graduate, we had graduation, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. And so standing outside of the ceremony, getting ready to leave, and I had a recent graduate come up and who recognized me from the ceremony. And I asked him, you know, what are you going to do? And he said, you know, I don't know. I have a degree. I haven't figured it out yet. And I said, well, who are the people you admire? You know, we have jobs and careers that aren't sports or entertainment or all that. And he told me, and I said, why don't you call them and ask them, how'd you start? What are the things you did? And I said, and most of the people he named were actually successful enough that they had Wikipedia pages. I said, go to their Wikipedia pages and look at what their career trajectory looked like and learn from that. And then to go back and plan your own out. So we don't have to wait for lightning to strike. We don't have to wait for the epitome, you know, to walk into, you know, the library and have that epiphany about the New York Times, you know, wedding section. You can actually plot this out by just admitting what you don't know and then work backwards from where you want to get.
Absolutely. And I think also walking into every situation, hoping to learn something from the situation, it's kind of being that expectant learner, that if you go into any meeting, you hope that you come out with not only information about what was talked about in the meeting, which is obviously important, but also, what can I learn from that as a leader? Did I prepare well? Did I behave well? Could I have done something different? Did other people do other things? And I think you learn a lot by just forcing yourself to self-check almost constantly throughout the day on how you're doing and collecting information on how you're really performing. Because part of leadership is really how you are carrying yourself and performing in those moments.
Yep, and adjusting to what's going around you, not, you know, refusing to adjust your sail just ensures you're going to be blown off course. So we have to adjust our sails knowing that we still have to get to our ultimate port, but we may have to change the direction we're going in a little bit to meet the changing market conditions.
Absolutely. Well, another fascinating conversation with you, Ron. I look forward to talking to you again next week. And that is a wrap for this week's episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.